Blog Talk Radio.
What is slashing?
Slashing is like that, you know.
Mm-hmm. And there's a penalty for that?
Yeah. And for a trip also, you know, like that, and for hook, like this, and for spear, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
All bad.
Bad.
You do that, you go to the box, you know, 2 minutes by yourself, and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
No, I mean, I didn't like the officiating tonight. I thought they let it get out of hand, and, you know, so... When you don't want to, you know, call it both ways, and you want to, you know, they frustrated us. The referees frustrated our hockey team, and that's why what happened, I think. And obviously, they got a guy that's 6'8" trying to beat on one of our guys, and our guys reacted and did what they had to do.
When is the trial?
Trial? You can't leave those guys in there. They're folk heroes.
They're criminals.
Well, most folk heroes started out as criminals.
Seem like, speaking about Beach, I mean, this type of Kyle Beach is going to help you win hockey games. That drive to the net, that drew the penalty, turned into a power play goal, that's obviously the guy you want to see play.
For sure. I mean, as long as he's drawing penalties and not taking penalties, you know, it's a good thing. He gets under the skin of the other team a lot, and, you know, as long as he can take a face wash or a punch to the head, you know, I'd see him put in some of the power play quite a bit.
Four ugly periods this weekend, and well, maybe four and a half, a period and a half of good hockey, and, you know, we showed what we can do when we play. And when we play our game and we stick to the game plan, and, you know, unfortunately we lost a couple guys there going into the third, but, you know, we probably owe it to those guys for pumping us up and getting us going. You know, we were pretty flat, and it seemed like that last shift before the scrum and the scrum really got us going, and, you know, we came out with something to prove in the third, and we knew that if we had six bad periods, it would have been a long week of practice.
Gloves off, stick down, no warning. He challenged the Chiefs.
Call his name.
Call his name!
But Dave was there.
Dave's a killer!
Yeah!
He's a killer.
He's a mess.
It seemed like channeled aggression properly in the third period. Was that what you talked about going out?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing was just staying out of the penalty box. I think at one point the penalties were 7-1, and then they went up to 7-2, and I don't know what they ended up, probably 7-5, 7-6, 8 something, but you know, we just said we're taking penalties that, you know, we shouldn't take, and, you know, we were able to turn that around and, you know, use that aggression in a positive way. And, you know, I think as soon as we started doing that, we saw the momentum shift and the fans got into it, and, you know, we just took it from there and we buried on our chances.
I thought one of the turning points of the game was your rush to the net where you drew the penalty and you didn't retaliate, and it turns into a goal.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about that all the time. If you can get a step on a guy, go wide and take it right to the net, and that's what I tried to do. Unfortunately, I lost the puck. I don't even know if I was looking at the puck, but I lost it. And, you know, I think I got a piece of their goalie, and, you know, we already had their bench riled up a bit and certain guys, and, you know, one guy stepped in, and, you know, I'll take a punch. We're down. We need the power play, and, you know, luckily we
you heard at the top of the show was that of Rockford Ice Hogs head coach Ted Dent, as well as the AHL Player of the Week, Kyle Beach. Beach with 3 goals and 2 assists over the weekend, picking up the Player of the Week honor. We'll discuss Kyle Beach more in a bit and those Ice Hogs. Boy, we have to talk about those Ice Hogs. But before that, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Puck Chatter Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. .com. I am Chris Block, writer, editor, and keeper of thethirdmanin.com, puckchatter.com, here on this Monday night, November the 5th, 2012, presidential election eve. Get out there and vote. Superstar, are you going to vote?
I am.
Excellent.
I was not lucky enough to do the early vote.
Oh, like, well, finally got an update on that superstar. All I had to do last week, all I had to do was walk across the street into City Hall and vote, and I managed not to do it. So I have to leave work again early tomorrow, like I did today. And I hope no one's listening to this from work anyway. and drive all the way out to Elgin so I can cast my ballot.
I heard that a lot of places were very unprepared, and the some of the lines were pretty ridiculous.
Well, you know what? I was going to do it on Saturday because I was heading out west. I went out to Rockford on Saturday night, but before that, my grandfather's 90th birthday party was on Saturday afternoon, and I was on my way out there. I was going to stop in the Hoffman Estates because they had a place, and at, like the village hall there where they were doing early voting, and it was until 3 o'clock. But you know, I was late to the party as it was, so I had to make a judgment call there, and I didn't stop the vote. So yes, I do. I will have to. I'll have to start very early tomorrow morning, and I will have to book out to Elgin.
And you were late for something? I'm shocked and appalled.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot to talk about on tonight's show. Of course, the big news of the day, Kyle Beach, everybody. I've got emails. I've got things. I've got snide remarks. I've got people. You know, Kyle Beach, you know, anything the guy does, it strikes a chord with Blackhawks fans, good or bad. We're going to talk about Kyle. The Ice Hogs, man, I think it's one of those things with the Ice Hogs this weekend where it couldn't have ended better, but everything leading up to the end was god-awful. So it's like you walk away with it with a good feeling. But we're gonna go over it as a whole, and it ain't good. I'd say that. I guess before we get into all the other nonsense we're gonna talk about, let's just talk. Kyle Beach. We're 4 weeks into the AHL season. You know, I was talking with somebody actually the first weekend of the season. We were just talking about the talent in the league. And while, yeah, Oklahoma City, Taylor Hall debuted for Oklahoma City Barons, the Edmonton Oilers Farm Club over the weekend on Friday night, 38 seconds into the game, he scored. that was the only time he scored over the weekend. Oklahoma City played three games. I don't know if he played in all three. I would doubt he did, but I know Ryan Nugent-Hopkins did. Jordan Eberle did. We'll get to him in a second, but three of the first four weeks of the season, the AHL Player of the Week has come from the Western Conference. And while I think that would surprise some people because I think the general consensus is that there's more of the talent that people are highest on is outside of Oklahoma City, which you know houses guys that don't belong in the AHL at all. More of that talent's out east. So it's like Kyle Beach here, you know, Player of the Week. You know, last week it was Charlotte Checkers goaltender Dan Ellis. Before that it was Justin Schultz, who still lead, as a defenseman, still leads the AHL in scoring. And the first week was the only player was out east. It was Corey Conacher of the Syracuse Crunch. But, as we mentioned, 3 goals, 2 assists for Kyle Beach, besting Jordan Eberle, who in 3 games over the weekend had 4 goals, 1 assist, plus 5, 6 shots on goal. I don't know. You could make the argument that Jordan Eberle should have been the player of the week. Oklahoma City over the weekend won 1-0-1, but they did blow a lead on Saturday, I want to say, to Houston. Peter Holland of Norfolk, 2 games, he had 3 goals and an assist. Norfolk 1-1 over the weekend. Peter Holland, 2009 first-round pick of Anaheim, 15th overall. Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, Penguins, Paul Thompson, 4 goals. Which included a hat trick on Sunday at Bridgeport. The other goal was an empty netter on Friday night in a 3-0 win at Manchester. And Worcester Sharks goaltender Alex Stalock, 2-0, including a 1-0 shootout win on Sunday. 97% save percentage over the weekend and a 0.96 goals against, 59 of 61, Alex Stalock. So those are the guys that Kyle Beach beat out, and we'll get into that more a little bit later on. Superstar, I got to tell you a story.
Can't wait.
You know,
I love your early show story.
Well, you know,
you battling a pigeon or you know.
Actually, now that you mention it, I had one of those moments with a pigeon. This actually didn't happen this past week. It happened a couple weeks ago. Downtown in Chicago, I was walking one day, and there was a pigeon. There was actually two pigeons that were sort of walking in front of me, and I had that George Costanza, I thought we had a deal moment with the penguin. I nearly broke my ankle trying to get out of the way of this pigeon because I thought the pigeon was going to move and he didn't move. But that's neither here nor there. So yeah, I thought we had a deal with the pigeons, but evidently not. But no, I was going to say, like you don't sound happy or excited to talk to me at all, Superstar. Do you realize this? I was almost in the wrong place at the right time in Rockford on Saturday night.
Uh oh.
Yeah, and it's actually funny because there were a few of us in the press box in Rockford after the game on Saturday night. We were just sort of sitting around and just talking, and we were kind of joking around about how terrible of a place Rockford is. And,
I'm gonna get in trouble, but yeah, it is.
I mean, certain areas. I mean, it's like any other town. I mean, it's not any other town, but it's like a lot of other towns. It has its bad areas and it has its, you know, its fine areas. But one of the things, and it was actually a point that I made in this conversation, is that when I go to Rockford, I'm pretty much, I get off 90, and I'm going down State Street. I'm going down Business 20, and that takes me right to the arena. And right afterwards, I get right back on that road, and I take. And when you're on that street, I mean, it's pretty much like driving through Naperville or Schaumburg or Aurora or any of those places, right? I mean, it's all
pretty much.
Yeah, it's all your shops, your restaurants, your Buffalo Wild Wings, your Olive Garden, your Big Lots, Target, all that stuff, right? Car dealerships, it's all that stuff. So you feel pretty safe. And it's like you're in any, you know, it's just like you're in a, you know, any other town, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
So I said I don't really have a negative opinion of Rockford because I just go up and down State Street, you know. So Saturday night, I leave Rockford and I, you know, and then Sunday morning I wake up and I'm on the internet and I look. And I just missed, Superstar. There was a shooting on that same street, on State Street. There was a drive-by shooting, and a car chase and wrecks and people died. And like I was at that spot probably 5 or 10 minutes before that happened. So, Superstar, I was almost caught in the crossfire.
You were you almost perished.
I almost perished in Rockford over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, nothing. Perishing is one thing. If you perish in Rockford, that's just a really disappointing way to go out.
No one would ever know I was gone.
Yeah.
Tonight on the show, I know that some people mentioned this, Superstar. Last week we promised, or, you know, we kind of said that we hinted that we were going to do something, and then we didn't end up doing it. Like, no, we've never done that before on the show.
No, not us.
Yeah. At least you got a show. And you're getting one 2 weeks in a row. But we talked about that we were going to do something on the show called, or basically we're going to talk about the things that we will be doing during this NHL lockout to keep ourselves busy. Things that we would be doing that we wouldn't normally be doing if there was NHL hockey. So we're going to try to do that tonight.
I'm looking forward to that a lot.
All right, well, then make sure you remind me to do it before we go. I got to tell you a story. There's a story I was going to tell you, Superstar. I love living in the city of Chicago.
It's a great city.
I do. And I don't live downtown. I don't aspire to live downtown. It's like, if you lived and you lived there, downtown.
I did.
It's very artificial. I mean, you get, my thought is, like, I know people that live down there, and, you know, they're good people and whatever, but the feeling, it's just very, living downtown, it's very idealistic. You know, you don't really get a sense of community or people. Like, you don't, it's, I don't know. I like living amongst, like, where people live, you know, like the real people. I mean, like the ones that with screwed up lives and all that.
It you know what? Growing up in the suburbs and then all of a sudden, one day, living downtown, it was very surreal. It was, it is a culture. It's very much a different culture than anything else. And you got to get used to it. You really do.
But the thing that I love living in the city, but it's also a pain in the ass because you got to deal with people all the time.
Yeah, right.
And living in the city, like we were talking about before, I've been in the wrong place at the right time many times living in the city. Like, I've been involved in armed robberies and other things that involve guns and other things that we probably shouldn't mention on the show. But mostly I have a love-hate relationship with dealing with people. And this past week, my neighbor really pissed me off. Listen to how ridiculous this is. So the city comes out and they'll assign you garbage bins, right? They give you, you know, the city will come out. It's property of the city, but they assign you garbage bins, and the city comes out and they empty them once a week in theory. But they're your garbage bins. They come out and they paint on the top. They're your street number, and they're your garbage bins, right? Well, I had tenants that just recently moved out, okay? I don't know what planet my neighbors live on. These people are Bulgarians. I don't trust them anymore. I thought they were nice people, but not anymore. I think they felt like because the people that were renting from me moved out, that now that second garbage can was now up for grabs. One day a few weeks ago, I go outside and I don't see in the backyard and I don't see the other garbage can. I'm like, where the fuck is this garbage can? And I look and it's over by there, where their stuff is. I go, well, that's weird. So I go over and I take it and I put it back where it's supposed to be. Fast forward a week later, same deal. So it was full at the time. So I said, nah, I'll wait until the garbage people come by, and I come and I take it and I put it back where it belongs. Then one day, a week and a half ago, I'm leaving to go to work and or wherever I was going, and I walk out front, and the lady that lives next door is out front doing gardening, and I see there's a garbage bin in the front yard, and I'm looking at this garbage bin, and I just know it's mine, right? I go, that lady took my garbage bin again. So I go to work, whatever, come back, and I look that night, I'm outside with the dog, and I look, and sure enough, it's my garbage can. Again, it's full, so I waited. So this past Thursday night, I go and grab my garbage bin. I guess Thursday is garbage pickup day. So I go and grab my garbage bin, and I bring it back, and I look at it. And sure enough, you won't believe this. This lady took, like, paint thinner and rubbed the paint that had my street address off of the top of this bin, and was now trying to claim it as her own.
It's a garbage can. Like, do Bulgarians produce more garbage than other people? Like,
see, the thing about it is she's so stupid. There's a serial number, like, impressed on the front of the garbage bin that all you have to do is call the city and give them that number, and they'll tell you what address it belongs to. And if I wanted to be a real jerk, I'd let it sit there. I'd call them up. They'd come out. But that's a waste of everybody's time. So here's the – I basically decided that if – I mean, it's – I've claimed it back again. And if it does end up back in their yard again, well, that'll be the day that I clean the basement, superstar. And I'm cleaning and emptying my basement into all three, mine included, of their supposed garbage cans. And then the war is on.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. That'll be the day I pick up the shit in the yard, too.
Not holding my breath.
We have to talk of Superstar. November 5th is today. We are 1 month out from the big day. Rutu turns 3.
That is a monster day. I can't believe he's 3.
He'll be old enough to drink legally. I'll let him stay out past 11. It's funny because we're getting ready for the big birthday party. Me and Rutu, you know, we're going to have a big birthday party, and I've already decided what I'm going to get him for his birthday. Rutu is my puppy dog. We are going to go to the anti-cruelty downtown at Grand in LaSalle, Wells, right there. And on his birthday, we're going to go, and we're going to pick him out a new buddy.
Is that a boy?
It'll be a happy birthday for Rutu and maybe me. But, yeah, so we got all these things planned, me and Rutu, of course. And it's funny because, like, I'm getting him – we're going to the doctor next week, and he's going to get his checkup and all that. And then after that, we're going to go get him groomed. But, you know, like, I – one of the things when you own a dog, especially a dog that has to have his hair cut all the time, like he doesn't shed, is like you have to do it, you know, you have to, quite frankly, you have to do his manscaping for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, dogs are very much not cats. Cats, you know, can do their own thing. Dogs, they need a little help.
No, Rutu, because... Rutu likes to go outside, and he likes, you know, when people will sit on the front porch and like people come by, other dogs or people will be walking by, and he likes to get up on his hind legs and wiggle his junk at everybody.
I wonder where he gets that.
He's just like his daddy. But, oh, by the way, thank you. Thanks to everyone from last week that asked me about my boner. Everything is good. Everything's fine.
Oh, everything's good?
Yes, yes. Actually, I think it started when I booked my flights to Las Vegas, because I swear, when I hit the confirmation button that it moved, you know? But, yeah, everything's good. You wouldn't believe how many people asked me about my boner. Quite disconcerting, actually.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned.
But you know, anyway. So yeah, I've got to do Rutu's manscaping for him, but he only lets me get so close. He gets a little nervous when Daddy's got the scissors around his unmentionables. You know what I'm saying?
I could imagine.
Yes. But yeah, we've got the point of that story was that we got the big birthday party coming up in a month. So I might even invite you, Superstar.
Outstanding. I would love it. Is the new friend another puppy? Is it a puppy, another cat?
I think I'll let Rutu decide that. I think it's gonna have to be a cat. I'm not married to the idea of one or the other. But we'll see. I think it'll be a cat though. I don't want to get two cats because, I don't know. That just to me is like the idea. It's the idea of like replacing the two cats that just passed away, the brothers. And I don't really like that idea. That's just my personal thing. So I think if it's cats or it'll be one cat or maybe it'll be a dog, but if it's a dog, it's gotta be a dog that's younger, which is, God, I don't know that I can go through this again. Because, like, Rutu, like, he's just about to be 3, and he's been okay for, like, a while. But, like, all of a sudden, like, the terrible 2s are in full effect. I mean, he has been a disaster lately. Like, I brought him to work on the Halloween because it was the last day of the month, and I hate Halloween, and I despise trick-or-treaters, and it's good that I have to work, you know, last day of the month, I'm busy. So I decided that, you know, I'd stop by the house, and I'd pick him up, and I'd bring him to the office. I've been bringing him to the office every once in a while lately, and every time I bring him to the office, Superstar, like, I'll be, you know, standing somewhere, and I'll look, and I see, and, like, Rutu's in the, you know, he's in the crouch, and he's looking up at me, and he's taking a dump. He's like, he's looking at me like, I know I'm going to get in big trouble for this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Little bastard.
Well, you know, he's got to do his business.
Well, we were just outside.
Anyway. Well, you know, it happens.
I don't want to talk NHL lockout tonight. I know that the people are getting excited now because they think that there's progress. Bottom line is these next 2 weeks are crucial. Everybody knows it. And everything that happened up to this point, it's like we talked about last week. I don't understand why anybody's been out of shape about it. It sucks. A lot of people are affected, especially if you're someone who has money invested in Blackhawks tickets and you're not getting a return on those investments right now. I understand that. I understand it's frustrating. I understand if it's frustrating if your income is dependent or somewhat dependent, partially dependent on there being Blackhawks game or not. And that goes for the, you know, I mean, I know beer vendors. I know Sam Fells, the committed Indian vendor. You know, it sucks. But they're not anywhere, you know, we knew that there was a great chance that this is where we'd be on this day. And these next 2 weeks are crucial, and both sides know it, and we'll see if anything comes of it. But I don't know. I think the best way to affect change is just to ignore them. And, you know, if you're in hockey arenas and you're talking to people that are hardcore hockey people, it's somewhat frightening, actually, the amount of people that are just you know, I mean, they're just disinterested. I mean, it doesn't even affect them. And I think that's a dangerous thing. You know, there's a lot of people that live in the Twitter bubble that their eyes are glued to Twitter all day, and they lose sight of the fact that that's just like a minute percentage of the people that you reach. You know, I mean, people don't care right now, and that's a scary thing. And I think if the people, you know, kind of back off a little bit and just say, hey, you know what, get back to us when you accomplish something. Maybe there'd be more of an urgency to accomplish something. But these next 2 weeks are important, and we'll talk about it after that. I want to focus on the Rockford IceHogs. We've got emails to get to, and that the thing we're going to do.
That's right. We got to do that thing.
Okay. So the Rockford IceHogs on Friday night, you know, here's like, there's a few things over the weekend that I think that we learned about this team, and now that we're 10 games into the season, I think we could start looking at the team and kind of sizing it up. There's one guy right now that's playing very, very well, aside from the two games that Kyle Beach played over the weekend. It's Brandon Peary. If I can pull up the stats here on Brandon Peary real quick. In his last six games, he's got 5 goals and 4 assists. So Brandon Peary's doing pretty well right now, +2 in those six games. And probably more importantly than anything else, he's shooting the puck. He's got 16 shots on goal in those six games. So it's still under 3 a game. But for a guy who has a really nice shot and he's starting to get it off a little bit more regularity, that's good to see. Brandon Peary did not have, you know, pretty pedestrian start, I thought, to the season. But he's picking it up of late. That's a really good sign to see. The thing that really stuck out to me over the weekend, and it is something that with the IceHogs I've been on the fence about, sort of kind of evaluating them, is just how slow they are. I mean, this as a group, they are not the fleetest of foot, and I think that that's, you know, that's something that can't be dismissed or really underlooked, because, you know, the Blackhawks upstairs in the NHL are a team that for the past little while has been predicated on speed. And here you have a group in Rockford, and that includes Brandon Peary, Ben Smith, Brandon Boleg, you know, even Jeremy Morin to a certain extent. You know, these guys aren't that fast. You know, Jimmy Hayes, and we got to talk about Jimmy Hayes and what's going on with him. But you know, Jimmy Hayes worked really hard on his skating over the summer, and he's a lot quicker than he was a year ago. I mean, you could really tell that Jimmy Hayes has gained probably about a half, you know, however you want to say it, half step in quickness from the spring to the fall, which is great to see. He's still a little rocky on his skates at times, but you know, he's one of their faster skaters. You know, the guy, I mean, he's got big, you know, you know, strong legs, but still, guy 6'5", 235, probably more than that, but let's just say 235, and he's one of your faster skaters. I mean, that's, you know, the team speed on this, and it was really evident on Friday night. Anybody who watched the game, I know the game was televised locally in Chicago. I mean, the forwards just couldn't, you know, there was a lot of attention put on the defense, and there were guys on that defense that had horrible nights. Joe Lavin was terrible on Friday night. Adam Clendenning wasn't very good. Klaus Dahlbeck was okay. Brett Lebda, you know, he has his moments where, you know, I mean, it's funny because when Brett Lebda sometimes has the puck and he makes a really nice first pass and it's crisp and you're like, that there's a veteran defenseman right there who knows what he's doing. And there's other times when he gets the puck and it seems like the rink shrinks. And like all of a sudden, like he's got the puck and there's two forecheckers right in the vicinity. It's like, you know, and he's a guy that, you know, isn't very fleet of foot either. But it really starts with those forwards not being able to stay with their checks through the neutral zone. And the Chicago Wolves exposed the Ice Hogs badly. You know, you had forwards, you know, the wings and on the Wolves that were just able to fly up through the neutral zone, gain the blue line with speed, and just walk right around the Ice Hogs defenseman. Walk right around them. And, you know, I don't think that Nick Leddy being in or out of the lineup would have helped it at all, because Nick Leddy has, you know, has his own issues. I mean, as a team, you know, the Ice Hogs defenseman, if you get him leaner one way, it's really easy to walk right around. And you saw that time and time and time again on Friday night. Friday night was probably the worst I've seen the Ice Hogs play in. You probably have to go back to last November, so in a year. Because the team, I mean, it was a lousy performance. It was, you know, for the players on the team that are supposedly biding their time while the lockout happens, and they're NHL players or they're borderline NHL players. And I'm talking about Marcus Kruger, Andrew Shaw, Dylan Olsen. You know, even though Dylan Olsen's going to play in Rockford all year, no matter what. I mean, these guys just don't have it. And, you know, I said this to some people. I mean, Stan Bowman's there every night. Joe Quenneville wasn't there Friday, but he was there Saturday. His coaching staff was there both nights. Barry Smith, who's got a lot of influence in the organization, he's out there working with these guys, and he's there most nights. Andrew Shaw could play his way off the Blackhawks by his performance in Rockford so far. I don't think Marcus Kruger can, but these other guys can. You know, Shaw's not doing anything, and that's disappointing. But it has to be said, this is a slow hockey team. And it got exposed in three periods against Chicago on Friday night, and it got exposed in probably, I would say, the first 30 minutes of the game on Saturday night, which was fortunate for the Ice Hawks because they were playing a Lake Erie team that was playing their third game in as many nights, all on the road. They played in Peoria on Thursday, Milwaukee on Friday, and then in Rockford on Saturday. Short bus trips. So it's not a lot of time spent on buses, but still, that's three games and three nights, and especially in the third period, Lake Erie they didn't have it. I mean, they were badly outplayed, but they were you could tell that they were tired. It was like that third period was a perfect storm, and I want to talk about the Lake Erie game in a minute, but God, the Ice Hawks were bad. I mean, until Lake Erie ran out of gas, it was an alarming weekend. It was red flags and alarming how terrible the Ice Hawks played. They gave up 9 power plays to the Chicago Wolves on Friday night. 9. They were lucky that Chicago was 2 for 9. Chicago hit a bunch of posts on Friday night. And I think all around, you know, that score could have been a whole lot worse than it was. You know, the Ice Hawks were lucky that wasn't more like 9-3, because it easily could have been. That's how badly they played. And then you fast forward into the game on Saturday. The thing that really, you know, really worried me about the game on Saturday coming out into the first period was, again, that you were coming off that performance on Friday night, and there was two things that they talked about. It was getting off to a strong start and sustaining that strong start, but the ways that they were going to have to do it were stay out of the box. And here, you know, here we go back to this. I mean, the Ice Hawks coming into the weekend were the most penalized team in the AHL, and I mean now they're untouchable in that category for a while. 88 penalty minutes on Saturday. A lot of that was attributed to 4 game misconducts, but I mean, it's a team that really, they can't follow the game plan for whatever reason. They can't follow the game plan, and I don't. At some point, that has to come back to the coach. I know some people that have commented to me about, you know, it's the coaching or what's Ted Dent doing. I think some of that has to come back to the coach, obviously. But, I mean, the players on the ice have to be held accountable. I mean, Brandon Boleg's never been called for a penalty in his life that he didn't think was bullshit. And he's constantly taking penalties. Marcus Kruger, we might as well get into the Lake Erie thing. I thought, for me, the turning point in the game on Saturday night, the Ice Hawks were down 3-1. They get a power play, and they're set up in Lake Erie zone on the power play. And Marcus Kruger, the puck goes into the corner, and Marcus Kruger sticks a stick out, and down goes a Lake Erie defenseman. Now, I think Kruger at that point, and the Ice Hawks to a man at that point, it felt that they'd, you know, that, yeah, they probably had a bunch of calls that they deserved, but there were a couple that they felt that they didn't deserve, and coupled with they felt that Lake Erie wasn't getting called for things that they deserved to get called for. So you had a lot of this frustration that had built up. But, you know, here you are midway through a game. You're down 3-1 at home. You're on the power play trying to trim the lead to 3-2, and a guy who I think, and he is, generally regarded as the smartest player on the Ice Hogs, Marcus Kruger, goes and not only takes the penalty, but then flips out, starts screaming at the official, and then goes after the guy that he tripped, punching him and shoving him into the glass because he felt like the guy embellished the call. Well, luckily for Marcus Kruger, the referee, you know, he could have easily just added another two and given him a double minor. But it was a significant decision on the referee's part to just give Mark Kruger a 10-minute misconduct. Because what ended up happening was, yes, it eliminated the Ice Hogs' power play, but it didn't give Lake Erie an extended power play on the end of it. And what ended up happening was a couple of minutes later, Kyle Beach forced a puck through the neutral zone, got a step on a defenseman, and drove hard to the net. It was what Kyle Beach was commenting on in the question I gave to him and what you heard at the top of the show. He had a step on the guy. He was driving towards the net, and he drew a penalty. And on the continuation of that penalty, Kyle bumped Calvin Pekar, the late Erie goaltender, and the defenseman tried to goat Kyle into taking a retaliatory penalty. Kyle didn't. Ice Hogs end up on the power play. What was it, 30 seconds later or so? Not even, I don't even think. 18, it was 6 seconds later. 6 seconds later, off the draw, Adam Clendenning shot through traffic right by Ben Smith's leg and into the net. And it trims your lead to 3-2. Lake Erie's lead to 3-2. That was the turning point of the hockey game. You know, a lot of people are going to point to the you know, we got to get into this stupidity. At the end of the period, there was a scrum behind the net that got out of control, and one of Lake Erie's Patrick Bortolo had a hold of Jeremy Morin and Brandon Peary at separate times, and Andrew Shaw, who was on the bench, this is after the horn, jumps off the bench. You know, I mean, you can imagine someone jumping off the bench and skating as fast as they can to jump a guy from behind and start pounding on him. That's what Andrew Shaw did. So we'll find out tomorrow. Andrew Shaw should probably be suspended for at least a few games. 3 was the number that I heard the other night that people were projecting it as. Wade Brookbank jumped off the bench, tried to get at Bortolo, but they were separated. So Brookbank did leave the bench to get involved in an altercation, but it didn't. Nothing happened. And then Boleg was involved separately, going crazy. He got a game misconduct as well. But that was the key. You know, a lot of people point to, you know, these guys rallied around each other, and Shaw, you know, injected life. I don't think that's what it was at all. I think that the frustration that boiled up in these guys from, you know, you could tell it in Ted Dent. I mean, Ted Dent, after the game, that was the first comment that he made to us, was that he didn't like the officiating and he thought the referees let the game get out of hand. It's like, you know, whether you agree with that or not, and the fact is that I think he's mostly right, actually, because Sean Davis was one of the referees on Saturday night, and Sean Davis is a terrible referee. Terrible. And, you know, of the 10 games that the Ice Hogs have played this year, that was the third game that they've had a two-referee system. And you would think that the officiating would be better when there's two referees on the ice. For some reason, it's worse. But that's the AHL. But I thought that that's what it was. And I asked Dent about it after the game, and he dismissed it. He said that it was the brawl at the end that lifted the guys and gave them the energy. I don't think that's what it was at all. Because if that brawl happened when it did, like, let's go back and say that Kyle, drew the penalty, but then retaliated, and you had offsetting minors. And then there's no power play for Clendenning to score. And instead of going into the intermission, the second intermission, down one goal, you go down two goals. I don't think that the third period is a lot different. Maybe not, but that's just, you know, the Ice Hogs' mentality after all that happened was, and one of the things I wasn't in the room, but I imagine that Ted Dent was able to say, is like, listen, we've played terrible, but look, we're down a goal. We've got 20 minutes. These guys have played 3 nights in a row. We can win this game. Instead of you're mad at the officials, you didn't score that late goal to give you that extra life, to get within a goal. You know, I think, you know, They did believe in it after that game on Saturday night, that brawl and Shaw jumping off the bench really helped their team. I don't believe it at all. I think it was stupid. I think it's going to hurt them more than it's going to help them. You know, I mean, especially I was surprised Ben Simon got kicked out of that game, but I was surprised. You know, you would think when a player leaves the bench to get involved in a fight that the head coach would then be ejected as well. That didn't happen. Not sure why. You would think now Ted Dent would, you would think he'd be suspended, but he wasn't even suspended from the bench clearing brawl against Milwaukee last year. He was just fine. So we'll see what happens. Probably all come down tomorrow. But wild game. But yeah, the Ice Hawks did come out and dominate the third period. But I don't know. This team to me, I mean, if they didn't have great penalty killing, you know, this they wouldn't be 5-4 and 1. They'd be more like 3-6-1, something like that. And the, you know, the other guys that deserve the credit for that win, Ben Smith was awesome on Saturday night. And, you know, as a penalty killer, and I think he had just a terrific game. Ryan Stanton did as well. I think Dylan Olsen played pretty well on Saturday night. And I think Sean Lalonde, after a bad first period and a half, really, Sean Lalonde had a great finish to that game. And also scored his first goal in since December 29th. So. Update on injuries with the Ice Hogs. Nick Leddy is to start skating this week. I know that the Ice Hogs had Sunday off. Typically they have Mondays off, but they did off-ice workouts today at Peak Fitness in Rockford. They did some stuff in the pool. And then they had the whole team did an outing at the Chrysler plant out that way in Belvedere. Tomorrow they're back on the ice. Nick Leddy's expected to skate tomorrow. Brandon Saad may skate with the team. He was skating last week, but not with the team. So, especially with the expected suspensions, the hope is that Leddy will be ready to play on Friday night in Grand Rapids. If not, they hope he could play on Saturday night when the Ice Hogs return home to play Milwaukee. And then the only other injury is Brandon Svensson, who had right arm surgery, not unrelated to shoulder surgery. So they say, so I've heard. Ted Dent won't say that, you know, Ted Dent is upper body, lower body. That's what Ted Dent says. But the injury to Leddy is a concussion. I don't know exactly what the Saad injury is. My guess is it's a Charlie horse or a hamstring, but I don't know that. I haven't really even asked, but, you know, Saad's been around, walking around, and by looking at him, you wouldn't think anything's wrong, but, you know, he couldn't skate, so that's just my guess. And then there's the Svensson thing. Did you get to see any of the game the other night?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I was meaning to, but I didn't get a chance.
I want to get the letters and a couple of things here real quick so we don't run out of time. But before we do, Jimmy Hayes, I was going to save this for the website, but might as well just talk about it here. More people listen to this show than read the website, so might as well just talk about it here. Probably the most newsworthy thing over the weekend was the fact that Jimmy Hayes was moved from the wing to center. Jimmy Hayes, who, you know, I asked after the game on Saturday night, Jimmy Hayes talked to him about it, and, you know, I said, when's the last time you played center? And he said he hadn't played center in probably since midget. You know, it was the last time he played center. I mean, you know, he said he didn't, you know, he hadn't played it in college, really. So it was either, you know, high school or sometime before that. He said that he had played it before, but it's been a really long time since he played center. you know, Ted Dent, when I asked him about it, basically said that it was a decision that came on from up above, that the Blackhawks management came down and suggested, and they want to see Jimmy Hayes at center. It's very interesting. But through talking with people, you know, Barry Smith, who, and here's the thing, even though these guys are under contract, you know, under NHL contracts and there's a lockout, for the players that had two-way deals and were eligible to be sent to the AHL, the Blackhawks can, you know, Joe Quenneville can talk to Jeremy Morin if he wants to. You know, Joe Quenneville can't pick up the phone, you know, under the rules and call Jonathan Toews or Patrick Kane, but because these guys are assigned to Rockford and playing in Rockford, if he wants to, he could talk to those guys. And so can Stan Bowman and John McDonough and all those guys. John McDonough did. John McDonough went out before the season began and gave these guys this whole speech on the eve of the season opener. But Barry Smith went out this past week and was basically sat with Jimmy Hayes and was showing him video and was on the ice going through instruction, one-on-one instruction with Jimmy Hayes, going over the center position with him. And, I mean, I could just tell you this, that, I mean, you know, at first glance, you look at that and you say, God, that is weird. What the heck are they doing now? But it actually makes a lot of sense. You know, for reasons that you may not like and for reasons that make sense. And I would say it makes sense in a, you know, you talk to, or you just watch Jimmy Hayes' game, okay, especially in Rockford. He goes up and down that wing, but he's not very effective physically. I think part of it is, his mindset isn't to be a physically dominant player. Jimmy Hayes certainly knows that he has to throw his body around. He certainly knows that people are watching him and he, you know, he needs to be physical in order to stay in the good graces of his coaching staff and the Blackhawks and to get, you know, keep people off of his back. But, you know, he's just not wired. You know, and it's unfortunate. I mean, in a way, it's unfortunate because the guy's 6'5". He's enormous, and if he wanted to physically dominate a game, you know, I mean, he has to work at it, and he has to be a better skater. He has to, you know. And I think it would just take. I think my point is, I think it would take Jimmy Hayes a few years to become a power forward on the wing, because he's just not wired that way. I mean, you saw it with the hit on Michael Roosevelt, and there were a couple of times this weekend where Jimmy Hayes had, you know, he decided a little bit too late that he wanted to lay a body on a guy, and there was one where he kind of did like a leaping elbow that he didn't get called for, luckily for him, and there was another one where he completely missed. He's just that's not his game. So to move him over to center actually makes a little bit of sense, because, you know, you have a guy, the things that Jimmy Hayes is best at, he's got pretty darn good hands. He's got soft hands. He's got a great touch. And you get that puck on his stick, and, you know, he's got a nice release on that shot. He's got a deceptive shot. He likes to shoot from the middle of the ice. Whenever you see him on wing, he drifts into the slot. He likes to get in better shooting lanes and shooting, you know, an angle on his shot. So he's drifting off the wing to begin with anyhow. So why not just move him to the center of the ice? And again, this is nothing. This is kind of my observation in general. I mean, after thinking about it, because I had the same reaction that probably I think most people would when they hear Jimmy Hayes at center. What the heck are they doing? That was my initial reaction, and then sitting, you know, kind of watching it and thinking about it a little bit, you know, this kind of makes sense. Number two, and this is the thing that we talk about all the time, that, you know, Patrick Kane being at center, it doesn't really matter, because whatever line Patrick Kane is on, Patrick Kane is the puck distributor. So if Jimmy Hayes is, you know, and again, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I don't kid yourself if you, this is what the Blackhawks are thinking. If Jimmy Hayes could adapt to the center thing well enough, Jimmy Hayes at center with Patrick Kane on the wing and somebody who's defensively responsible on the other side, like a guy that he could be Marian Hossa. I mean, it's not going to be Marian Hossa because Hossa wants to play the right side. It could be Patrick Kane. Patrick Sharp, if Patrick Sharp were to be interested in playing two-way hockey again with consistency, or could be another guy. But because Patrick Kane finding Jimmy Hayes coming down the middle of the ice late, because the other part of being center is he's just going to have to cover way more ice, which I think that they're interested in seeing now if he can, because of the skating improvements that he's done. But after seeing a little bit of it over the weekend, I don't think it's so far-fetched. I'm sure it's frustrating to sort of, all of a sudden that they've had this idea, and, nine games into the season, all of a sudden it's like, well, Jimmy Hayes is going to play center now. I mean, it's very archaic what's going on, and, to an extent what's going on in Rockford, but I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. But, yeah, I think it's twofold. I think that they realize that he's not going to be a power forward, and you want to take him down the same road that Dustin Byfuglien went down as a winger. It's like everybody, there's this grace period that you give a young player, and Dustin Byfuglien had it. Dustin Byfuglien didn't change the player. He was always the same player, especially when he was at wing. We're talking about when he was at wing. He didn't change. It was just over time people watched him and said, why isn't this guy being more physical? Why isn't he, it's the effort thing and all that. Well, with Byfuglien, it could have been a lot of things. With Hayes, he's just not wired that way. He wants to score goals. And, maybe they can find a way to have a happy medium. He could still be, a guy that big in the middle of the ice. It'll open up ice for Kane on the wing to create and all that too. So it'd be interesting to see how it works out. I don't think it's too far fetched, but it's a heck of a thing to ask a kid. He's not a kid. He'll be 23 in a month or a few weeks here. Jimmy Hayes will, but. Heck of a thing to ask him just all of a sudden to move over to the center, but he's got good hockey sense. He does have that. He's just not a physical guy. That's been the knock on him, and we'll see where this goes. All right, we've got emails and other stuff. I'm going to do some emails here real quick, because we could do rapid fire. You into that, Superstar?
Absolutely.
All right. Actually, I should cover this because I printed out some emails and I got cut and pasted them onto a document here. So we're going to go through these a little bit, scroll up and down. Because I actually saw this on Twitter just before we went on. Hey, Chris, what's going on with Rostislav Olesh? Is he hurt? Is there another reason he's not on the IceHogs roster? We covered this when we had Mike Peck on, and I know your audience is always changing, but someone asked Tim Sassone this, and Tim Sassone's, with all due respect, bless him, his answer was wrong. Rostislav Olesh cannot play right now. I mean, he's not hurt, he just can't play. He's got a one-way NHL contract, and because of that, he cannot be assigned to the AHL without a new collective bargaining agreement. You know, this person goes on to say, I mean, it's not that Olesh doesn't want to play. He's not playing, to my knowledge, he's not playing in Europe. He can't be assigned to Rockford by the Blackhawks. He's in limbo. He can't be assigned. So that's the deal. Tim Sassone wrote that Olesh still has a knee injury. That's not true. He can't be assigned. That's it. So that's the true story. Okay, here's some Kyle Beach stuff, superstar.
Eating some crow.
Well, all right. Hey, Chris, please give Kyle Beach his due. He was the Ice Hawks' most dominant player this weekend and is really starting to look like a player. The Blackhawks could use his toughness. You know, I believe that I'm pretty fair with every player. If he plays well, I'll say he plays well. If he doesn't play well, I'll say he doesn't play well. When I did, you know, that rant on the show a few weeks ago, it was after the first two games of the season, and Kyle Beach was terrible. He was awful. What, you know, how can I be confident in backing that up? Ted Dent sat Kyle Beach, a healthy scratch, the next two games. So I wasn't the only one who thought that Kyle Beach was terrible. It was a healthy scratch his next two games. Yes, the guy that is the AHL player of the week 2 weeks ago was a healthy scratch in back-to-back games. But I give him credit. I should say, though, I just saw something that Sam Fels wrote today about Kyle Beach, and he said that I don't have it in front of me. But Sam wrote something like he was quoting me, and what Sam wrote is not what I said. If you want to know what I really said, go back in my timeline from Saturday night's game, and you'll see. Sam was paraphrasing in his own acceleratedly coarse language, but I did not say that. Anyway, here's another Kyle Beach one. Chris, I can't wait to hear you demean Kyle Beach's Player of the Week honor and tell everyone how it means nothing, how Beach can't help the Blackhawks, is killing the Ice Hogs, and belongs in Toledo. I guess this guy listened to the show. I look forward to hearing how terrible you say he was on Saturday night, even though he was named the game's first star. I was there. He was awesome Saturday night, but I'm sure you will think you know better. You're a joke. This guy doesn't sign his... Yeah, superstar. You like that one. This guy doesn't sign his email, but from the looks of his email address, I would say his name is Jay. And again, Jay says, I look forward to hearing how terrible you say he was on Saturday night, even though he was named the game's first star. Well, Jay, actually, I was the one who picked the three stars of the game on Saturday night, and I picked Kyle. So actually, I do know how awesome he was on Saturday night. You douche. I picked the game's three stars on Friday night, too. And actually, because Kyle was the third star on Friday night, am I have that right? I don't know, superstar, you're our fact checker. Yes.
I have no idea.
Yeah, he was the third star on Friday, but actually, I didn't have him listed because you got to hand in the three stars of the game, like, before the game ends. And Beach scored his second goal, like, right after I handed it in. So they changed the third one that I had to Beach because of the hometown crowd and all that. But it was two goals, and he played pretty well on Saturday night or Friday night. But I, you know, again, if he plays well, I'll say he played well. I've had a bunch of these, and changing subjects now, I've had a bunch of these, and I've been meaning to do this. This is something I promised to do probably months back, and we never did. It's the story on Alexander Salak and his hissy fit in Hamilton last year that effectively ended his career with the Blackhawks organization.
I do remember us teasing it. I don't remember us actually going into it, though.
No, we never did it. And I've gotten some emails about it, and some other things. But no, we've never done it. Alexander Salak. Gosh, where to begin with Alexander Salak? You know, we've been kind of just to kind of summarize Alexander Salak again. You know, the Blackhawks picked Salak up in that Jack Skilly to Florida for Michael Frolik deal. What a deal that was! A bunch of garbage switched hands in that deal. I remember doing the show with Al Samaglia right after that trade, and so many people were like, "Hi, you know, well, the Blackhawks got all of this," and all, you know, Al and I talked about it on that show. We're like, you know, let's just kind of wait to see. Like, you know, you'd think that they, you know, that you got a top prospect. He wasn't Alexander Salak. First of all, was never a top prospect goalie. He was a goalie that couldn't hack it in the AHL. Went back over to Sweden, had a great year in Sweden. So everybody was high on him again. But for some reason, Dale Talon was like, "Oh no, take this guy," you know, just like and it's like, "Oh, we're getting a first round pick for Jack Skilly," forgetting that Jack Skilly was a first round pick. So it's, you're swapping like guys that were drafted in the first round that aren't amounting to anything, and everyone's high on, "Oh, you know," like now you got Michael Frolik, who's, you know, makes three times what he probably should make. Another bad contract. But anyway, so Alexander Salak came over, and he was high on himself. He had a big head, and he was coming over to the Blackhawks organization, and Blackhawks didn't have a backup at the time. You know, it was one of those situations where it looked like it was going to be Corey Crawford and Alexander Salak. That was what it looked like was going to be your tandem. And again, you know, we went over it at the time. That didn't really make any sense to have, you know, to entrust what you thought was a Stanley Cup contender to two guys that, you know, were suspect. That, you know, Corey Crawford coming off a great playoff, but he had never been the guy from beginning to end and the whole deal. So the Blackhawks went out and got Ray Emery. Salak apparently wasn't prepared for the possibility of being sent to Rockford. And you know, even though Salak didn't have a great exhibition season last fall, but he was okay, and he was certainly, you know, his numbers were better than Ray Emery. But the Blackhawks decided to go with the veteran, a guy that they knew his body of work, and they had more trust in him. Well, when Alexander Salak got sent to Rockford, he wasn't prepared for. I mean, obviously, he wasn't prepared for it. You know, his agent evidently didn't prepare him for that possibility. He ignored that possibility. And when it happened, it was emotionally taxing on him. Like, he didn't handle it well, to the point where when he finally reported to Rockford, they had to basically suspend him. And, you know, that was the first time that Carter Hutton, you know, was with the Ice Hogs, was that first weekend of the season when Salak had to be sent home. And, you know, see, it got off to a bad start, and then, to be fair, on the personal side of things, Salak had and his wife were expecting a child, and the child ended up being 2.5 or 3 weeks late when she finally gave birth, and they had that. And then in the month of November, he started to play, and, you know, just as he started to, you know, sort of get into a little bit of a rhythm, he had the high ankle sprain and he went down. And then Carter Hutton came up, and Carter Hutton was fantastic for a while. Then Alexander Salak got back in the lineup, and he played fantastic. And then, you know, it was like dueling goalies, but then Hamilton came. And basically the story of Hamilton kind of goes, that road trip for Salak was, not good. I mean, what happened in Hamilton actually began in Toronto on Friday night. He didn't play very well, but I think that that was one of those things where the Blackhawks wanted to see Salak play. So he didn't play particularly well in Toronto the night before, but Ted Dent came back with Salak again on Saturday in Hamilton. That was a weird game because there were a lot of moments in that game, not just the blow up that I'm about to go over, but there were moments in that game where Salak would go back to play a puck. And I just remember there was one moment actually in the third period, about 5 or 10 minutes before the incident happened, where Brian Fahey came back to play the puck and Salak went back and he had the puck but he didn't leave it for Fahey. And he actually, like, Fahey came to take it and he wouldn't give it to Fahey. And then it ended up, Salak ended up passing it to nobody and turned it over. And there was an argument there. I just know that there was a lot of the third period was breaking down before it broke down because of Salak's attitude. And basically the gist of it is five minutes to go in left in the game. And the Ice Hawks are up 2-1. It's a pretty tight checking game, and if you remember that team at the time, two goals against the Ice Hawks, they're in pretty good shape, especially 5 minutes to go. This was a team that was tough to play against at the time, and then the entire second half of the season. But under 5 minutes to go, Sean Lalonde tries to clear the puck up the right boards. A lazy clear up the right wall. Blake Jeffrion picks it up, throws the puck at the net. It's actually going wide. It goes off Ben Yowd's leg and into the net. Now, Ben Yowd's been probably one of Ben Yowd's, up to that point, Ben Yowd's best games as an Ice Hawk up to that point. I mean, it was one of those games where everything went well for Ben Yowd's. Sometimes when you watch Yowd's play, it's like one of those things, don't confuse activity with accomplishment. But it was a very good game for Ben Yowd's, and the puck goes off Ben Yowd's, and Salak has some words for Ben Yowd's. 22 seconds later, Hamilton scores again. Off the next faceoff, the Ice Hawks are carrying the puck through the neutral zone. Rob Flick's carrying it through the neutral zone. He tries to make a move around a defenseman. He gets poke checked, transition, the puck comes back the other way. It was Ian Schultz passes the puck from Hamilton, passes the puck just like a centering pass. It goes off of, I don't remember the guy's name, Guilford or somebody like that. It goes off the guy's skate, actually his back skate. I mean, the centering pass was awful from Ian Schultz. It was just terrible. But as luck would have it, it goes off the guy's back skate and straight into the net. Salak immediately goes yelling at the referee that the guy kicked the puck in, but it was incidental. I mean, it was obvious that there was no kicking motion. It was incidental. Didn't mean to happen. Salak's all pissed off. So Hamilton sort of celebrates too close to Salak's net. Salak comes up swinging and just starts throwing hands on Ian Schultz. And, of course, Salak gets a penalty for it. Now, mind you, 22 seconds earlier, the Ice Hogs were up 2-1. Now they're down 3-2, and Salak takes a stupid penalty to put his team down again. 16 seconds later, Hamilton scores again to go up 4-2. I mean, it's just a nightmare of a 38-second span. Three goals in 38 seconds, all because, it wasn't all attributed to Salak. It was some bad luck, and then Salak losing his mind after the second goal. But the third goal was terrible. Garrett Stafford is one-on-one with Salak. He decides to go around the net, and Salak makes probably the slowest post-to-post attempt that you'll see. And Garrett Stafford just easily stuffs it in. Of course, Salak doesn't feel like it's his fault because Brian Fahey and Byron Fraser, the first guys he sees when he looks up, and Salak's pissed because he feels like they didn't help him out on the play, and Salak storms off the ice. Mind you, there's 4 minutes left to play in the game. you know, and he just ups and takes off. He skates quickly to the Ice Hogs bench, opens the door, and goes right down the tunnel behind the bench into the locker room. He's gone. Everyone's looking around like, what the fuck? Ted Dent didn't pull him. It wasn't a timeout. He just leaves. He pulls himself. So Carter Hutton's got to go get his stuff and put his helmet on, get, you know, real loose real quick here and get into the net. And, of course, you know, mentally he's not prepared to go in the game. And, you know, he's not getting any chance to warm up. But after the game, there was really no the story was told to me. And I think this is pretty accurate. Not a lot was said in the locker room after the game. It was a pretty quiet locker room, and Alexander Slok was quickly in and out of there. Everybody gets on the bus. And, see, the thing with the Ice Hogs last year was it was a pretty unified team, but then you had that Olesh and Salak were kind of off in their own little world. Salak had rented an apartment, like, just around the corner from the BMO, like, literally around the corner. And Olesh stayed during the week, stayed with him a lot. And so those two were very clicky. And didn't really have a great relationship with the rest of the team. So everybody gets on the bus, and it's sort of like, okay, you got Brian Fahey is the captain, and you have some other guys, you know, it's like, who's going to say something here? You know, is anything going to be said? Because they're getting on the bus, and they're going to drive back to Rockford that night. So everybody gets on the bus, and this is going to be a surprise to a lot of people. Rusty Olesh gets on the bus, and stands, waits till everybody's on the bus, and stands up in front of everybody on the team and berates Alexander Salak in English and in Czech for about 5 minutes. And some of the stuff that I was told that was said was that he was an embarrassed, you know, that Alexander Salak embarrassed his team, he embarrassed himself, he embarrassed Olesh, he embarrassed his country. Like, some of the stuff was over the top, but you could tell that Olesh was livid with him. And it was like one of those things where it was probably the first time, this is what was said to me, it was one of the first times that you really believed that Olesh cared about being there. And he cared about what was going on with the team. And while it was the end of the players wanting to play, even though it's nothing that was said, it's just something that you know as a coach and as a teammate. It's like after something like that happens and Salak was sort of on loose tidings with the rest of the team anyhow, but after something like that happens, it's just like you just know that the guys aren't going to play in front of them anymore. They feel like they can't trust them. And the other guy, Carter Hutton, is a guy that everybody likes, they believe in, and they want to play well for him and in front of him. They want to battle for him. And after Hamilton, the team didn't want to battle in front of Alexander Slok anymore. And what didn't really, you know, in a way, you know, it's like if you know, even though it's like we saw the temper tantrums and the hissy fits from Slok all year long, mentally he was weak. You know, he didn't like anybody coming near him in his crease. He just didn't handle the traffic and the amount of, you know, teams were game planning to get in his face all game and brush him and get in front of him and bump him, and he couldn't handle that. And everybody knew it. So more and more teams were doing it, and it wasn't until actually only a couple of weeks before, a week before the thing that happened in Hamilton, that it seemed like he was sort of okay. I know what's coming, and I know I can handle this. And then Hamilton happening, You know, so, I mean, it was like, it was one thing after another with him. But the guys just weren't going to play for him anymore. And for the Blackhawks, it's like, we can't trust this guy. I mean, you know, he's having these kind of fits at the AHL level. I mean, what's going to happen to him when he hits up to the NHL? I mean, he can't have it. He's going to lose his mind. So it was done. But the other part of that, it was like, you know, I mean, it's Rusty Oles is just, he's just a weird guy. Like, he's not a bad guy. He's just a weird guy. But that was probably the time. Again, this is how it was said to me by some people, that was the time that it was like, wow, you know, he's passionate about this. It doesn't seem like it. He's just one of those guys where it doesn't seem like he's passionate about it, but he is passionate about this. Now, you didn't always see it in his play. And, you know, he's a big guy that's not real physical and you know, shies away from things at times. But, you know, I think that was one of the moments where some of the guys on the team believed, like, okay, he's one of us. Instead of, I think there were some guys on the team that felt that Oles felt like he was above the other guys. And that, I think that was a moment that, another one of those moments that kind of incidentally brought the team a little bit closer together. But, yeah. That's your Alexander Salak story. As best I remember it. It's been a while since I talked to anybody about that. But all right, superstar, things that we will be doing to kill time during the NHL lockout that we wouldn't normally be doing otherwise.
This is, you know, I've been giving this a lot of thought, and the not normally doing is a key, you know, key point here. You start it off. What are you going to be doing to keep yourself occupied?
Well, I can tell you let me tell you a story. So, I went to the Best Buy like a month and a half ago now. I happened to be at Best Buy for another reason, but I'm walking up and down the aisles, and I remember I wanted to get the new Bob Dylan album because I like physical CDs, you know. Even though I was disappointed that after I bought it, like, I had to buy the deluxe version to get liner notes. I was pissed about that.
Well, of course. You can never do anything normal.
I had to buy the one that had the T-shirt stuffed in it to get the liner notes. I wasn't happy about that. But anyway, I was at Best Buy for other reasons, and I'm walking up and down the aisle, and I see EA Sports NHL 13, Claude Giroux on the cover. You know, and I'm a busy guy. But, you know, so I was looking at it, and I actually picked it up, and I read the back, and I'm thinking, like, wow, this looks pretty cool. I have the last video game I bought was 2K10, I think. So, yeah, 2K10. I think that's the one that had Rick Nash on the cover. Believe so.
I believe it did.
That's the last one I bought. That was the last video game I bought. Well, you know, I just thought, you know what? I've heard a lot about the last couple of years. This one's supposed to be better. What the heck? But I picked it up. I put it down. I went through all the hours because my thought was, like, I don't need anything else, like, distracting. Because my concern is that I'll get, like, too involved in it and all of a sudden it'll, like, take away from the things that I'm supposed to be doing.
I can,
you know,
see,
like, to me, NHL 13 is, like, there's, you know. But basically, long story short, is that I bought that a month and a half ago. It's still sitting in the wrapping in the Best Buy bag on top of the PS3. Right in front of my 42-inch plasma.
I can see that about you. I can see next year's version coming out before that thing gets unwrapped.
Yeah, $60, and it's still sitting in the wrapping, in the with the receipt on top of it. It's still sitting there, unopened. It's like I look at it like I don't see it every day, but I look at it, and it's like there's that temptation there. You know, it's like, you know, I want to play it, but, you know, like I know that, I, you know, if I get into it, that I might not be able to stop, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the equivalent of like a beautiful woman like sitting on my couch, you know, like nude, stringing the noodle, you know, slapping the bean, you know, like I can't, like if I were to go over there, it's like I'd never, you know, like I'd never stop. You know, I don't know what is wrong. What is wrong with this show? We need
you. you do have that whole addictive personality thing going on.
Yeah. What do you got?
Well, you know, I would love to sit here, Block, and tell you that I would do something productive with my life. You know, maybe go to the gym. You know, go back to school. You know, do something to better myself. But that's just not going to happen. I recently came across, and I believe I sent you a link. And this is a lofty goal. There's a new local establishment, and they have a World of Beer club. So if I'm not going to do something to better myself, I might as well broaden my horizons with the culinary world of beer. So I think I'm going to start the venture to try 500 of their beers of the world. And you got to start somewhere. So we're gonna start with number one coming up here soon.
Now, why is this something that you'd be doing, like, or you wouldn't be doing if there was NHL? This sounds like to me like something you could be doing, even if, you know, tonight would be the night. If the schedule were to have gone down like the way it was originally built, tonight the Blackhawks would be hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins at the United Center.
I didn't know that. I hadn't studied where they would be on the schedule.
I would just be getting back from instead of voting Kyle Beach the number one star on Saturday night at the BMO, I would have been at Air Canada Center on Saturday night, because that's Saturday night. The Blackhawks would have been in Toronto.
That's disappointing that that trip didn't happen. Always a good time. And you know, it's not that I couldn't take this up while the NHL season was going on, but it gives me a little more, it keeps me more focused on a goal. It was going to happen whether the NHL was on or not, but, you know, this will keep me focused and, you know, mind on the beer, not so much on the hockey.
I got some emails, another thing that I'm planning on doing. I got some emails about Jeremy Roenick's book. And I'm not ready to give, I haven't really been able to read it too much. Again, I've been skipping around, but next week I'll be able to talk about the book because I have time this week to read. So I'll read it cover to cover, and we'll talk about it on the show next week. But in the book, in Jeremy Roenick's book, he tells a story about a teammate that he had in one of his NHL stops that all the guys on his team would marvel about the size of his member. You know, keeping in the theme of the show, last week we talked about my boner, and this week we'll talk about one of JR's teammates' boners. Well, I would hope that it was just flaccid in the locker room, but I would hope. But JR devotes like three pages to this guy's dick, and he doesn't mention the guy's name other than that the nickname they gave to this player was the Louisville Slugger. And I think if you thought about it for a few minutes, you'd know exactly who he's talking about. But he doesn't give away a name or anything. But the story that he tells in the book is that his quote, and again, I hope I have this right because I'm off my memory. He's like, he says that it was so ridiculously huge that you couldn't help but stare at it. and he says that one Christmas, that he had the team Christmas party at his house. And like most of the guys on the team were there, and they were all like, or a bunch of them were, you know, in JR's like man cave or whatever it was, and they all were like getting drunk and whatever, and they were like saying to the guy, like, whip it out. Like, this is what people, like, first of all, this is what happened. Like, when you get a group of hockey players together, this is what happens. So, like,
on any level.
Yeah. I mean, this is what happens, like, when I'm out on a Friday night. But, like, this is what happens. Like, on road trips, tournaments and stuff, this stuff happens all the time. But JR tells a story that, you know, like, they're like, come on, get it out. Like, show everybody, you know. So this player, he whips out his Louisville Slugger. And just as he's you know, wiggling it around, JR's wife, Tracy, like, comes down the stairs and, like, turns and, like, sees this thing. And he's like, she was horrified, you know. And so that's a story you can look forward to in JR's book on books at bookstores and your Amazon, your local Amazon.com outlet.
Hopefully when Amazon.com pulls their head out of that, we'll get it for the Kindle app. I would greatly love a electronic copy of the book so I don't have to carry it around.
It should. When's the last time you checked? It should be out. It should be up now.
I checked yesterday.
Oh. Well,
I'll
maybe
check again tonight.
Yeah, it should be up there because it was supposed to be released. I always thought it was going to be released on Thursday, but maybe it was today. I don't know. Officially, anyhow, it's been in. I think for a week or so, you've been able to get it. But anyhow, we'll talk about the JR book next week. Any other? So reading is something I'll do. I'll probably end up playing NHL 13 at some point. I've just been too busy, but I've got to have, like, one of those weekends where, like, I don't want anyone to bother me, and I don't have to worry about, like, creating a team and getting involved in the NHL 13.
Because that's a weekend thing for you.
Yeah, that's sweatpants and, that's go to the liquor store on Thursday night kind of stuff and stock up, and then that's like sweatpants and dirty shirts like all weekend long. That's what that is.
We got that one for you. Brock, I didn't mention something to you today actually, and you know, I don't know if it's the lack of hockey or what. I think this lack of hockey is it makes me want to come out of retirement and join another league.
Oh, we're on target for I am anyway. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with your body, but my body is on target for a December comeback.
I like it. Nothing's wrong with my body. It's.
Are you sure? Because I know that you're coming up on a milestone birthday. You're getting really old, superstar.
I am getting really old, and you know, anytime I'm getting really old, you're getting really old. So
you're okay. A lot older than I am, though.
Yeah, it's being married. Being married takes a lot out of you. But, you know, I think it's the lack of watching hockey so I'm down. Let's do a block, a December comeback.
We gotta put a team together because our last time that since I stopped playing, the team is disintegrated. It doesn't even exist anymore. The team is gone. there's members of our team that are just AWOL. Like no one's heard or seen of them. So we've got our work cut out for us.
I'm sure we can throw something together.
Yeah, I'm sure we can. All right, I think that's gonna do it for us.
All right.
You agree or not? I should have plugged this earlier, but I believe I will be on Radio Exposed tomorrow night, Tuesday night. I believe. I'm not sure.
That's always dangerous. Get those guys together.
Yeah. I believe that's going to happen. I don't know. I touched base with Tinky last week, and I told him that I told him some stuff, and I said I could probably do it. So I don't know. I think I'm doing it. If radioexposed.net, radioexposed.net. If I do it or I don't do it, you know, it's worth listening to when you're wasted. Kind of like
yeah.
This show.
I like their show a lot too. It's significantly better when you're wasted.
Yeah. RadioExplosed.net. I've got some stuff coming up on thethirdmanin.com this week. Just some stories that sort of the fallout from the weekend in Rockford, so you can look forward to that. We didn't get to a lot of these emails either. I should probably just answer them online. We'll never get to them here. I've got stuff here about wrestling, Igor Makarov, the lockout stuff that I didn't want to talk about tonight. A lot of stuff here. Anyway, that'll be it for us, Superstar. Say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
All right, we'll be back probably next week. I don't see a reason why we can't be doing a show once a week, but we'll see. We'll tentatively schedule the show for the 19th. Wait a minute, the 19th? That's like 2 weeks from now, isn't it? the 12th. How about that?
Early in the week works.
Early in the week? All right. So we'll do next Monday. We'll make
next
it a date
Monday
right now. I'll schedule it tonight. If I have time. Monday, November the 12th at 8 p.m. Central. You can check us back here. blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin. That's where you find Puck Chatter. You know, if that ain't confusing enough. But anyway, everybody, thanks for listening. Again, check out the website this week. I'll have some stuff up there, some interesting stuff, hopefully. And we will talk to you again next time. Good night, everybody.
Old man sitting by the side of the road with the lorries rolling by. Blue moon sinking from the weight of the load, and the building scrapes the sky. Cold wind ripping down the alley at dawn, and the morning paper flies. Dead man lying by the side of the road with the daylight in his eyes. Don't let it bring you down, it's only castles burning. Find someone who's turning, and you will come around. Blind man running through the light of the night with an answer in his hand. Come on down to the river of sight, and you can really through the window in the rain. Can you hear the sirens moan? White cane lying in a gutter in the lane. If you're walking home alone, don't let it bring you down, it's only castles burning. Find someone who's turning, and you will come around. Don't let it bring you down, it's only castles burning. Just find someone who's turning, and you will come around.
What are you doing up here? You been benched yet?
Yes, some real first in my professional career. I've been benched.
Why is that? Or fight.
Well, you could play if you fought.
Look at you. Why don't you do something with your life? You sit around here all day. You contribute nothing to society.
What's the worst thing that can happen?
Well, you'd be embarrassed and humiliated in front of a large group of people and have to walk out in shame with your tail between your legs.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I forgot who I was dealing with.
Golf's no different from hockey. Requires talent, self-discipline.
Golf requires goofy pants and a fat ass. You should talk to my neighbor, the accountant, probably a great golfer, huge ass.